shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23, 4. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14, 27. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Psalm 145, 8. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. If you have last Sunday's bulletin, you will have this passage of Scripture included there. I trust that you have that. If not, just open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll begin our reading in a few moments with verse 11. This is a wonderful time for us to be here tonight, once again to focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. May we pray together, please. Father, we are the recipients of your grace in every area of life. We're thankful tonight for the salvation that we know through Jesus Christ. We appreciate so very much the fact that Deity too, Jesus Christ, was willing to leave heaven's glory, come to this earth to be the God-man for the specific purpose of going to the cross to bear our sins. We rejoice tonight in the fact that we have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that He has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. We're thankful indeed tonight for all of the blessings of life, not only for salvation, but the grace by which we can live each day. And also we have the assurance that one day, because of your matchless grace, we'll depart from this life, we'll be absent from this body, and at home with our wonderful Savior. We're thankful for every blessing. Tonight we ask that you will bless our church family, especially those who have various burdens, trials, tests. We ask that you'll comfort and strengthen each one. And we thank you again for the opportunity which is ours now to focus our minds upon these eternal truths. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We pick our reading up with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastor teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We're going to be looking tonight at the exegetical study of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. We're going to put this on the screen for you to see. If you will, look at your insert from last Sunday's bulletin, and you will find a tremendous amount of information there with Ephesians chapter 4, 11, 12, and 13. So I trust that you have your bulletin, and we'll look at it, if you will, please. Every time I study the Word of God, I'm always discovering that there are things that I didn't see when I first started studying. And that is so true of the verses which we are studying now. Last Sunday, if you remember, we looked at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And now We're going to look at verses 12 and 13. We have the responsibility of the man of God, the minister, in verse 11, where it says he gave some apostles and some prophets, emphasis upon the post-canon period of time, and then the pre-canon period of time, and some as evangelists and some as pastors, emphasizing the post-canon period of time. We have an emphasis here for the reason that these individuals are chosen. If you'll notice, this verse begins like this, for the perfecting of the saints. I want to pause with you tonight and let's look at some specific words. The first one that I see here as I look at this passage of Scripture is the little word that is translated for. And you'll notice that it is the Greek word P-R-O-S. Most of us remember that the word pros is the word which means face to face. And this, of course, is emphasizing the fact that the communication of the Word of God is designed in presenting the message of God in such a way that the minister faces the congregation faces the minister, and the Word of God is being presented from a face-to-face design. It says, for the perfecting of the saints. We're going to stop for a few moments and look at the word perfecting here. If you'll notice, it is the Greek word K-A-T-A, then R-T-I-S-M-O-N. It is actually, and we're going to put this up here for you to see more clearly, it is the word which means cut, and then an emphasis upon the perfection of the individual, bringing the individual to where he ought to be, for the perfecting of the saints. And then it says, for the work of the ministry. I look at the word work, and it is the Greek word ergon, E-R-G-O-N. We have the work of the ministry. We have the Greek word D-I-K-O-N-I-A-S. This is the word from which we get our English word deacon. And then it says, to the building of the body of Christ. We pause for a few moments and let you take a look at the word building here. Most of you are aware of the fact that this is an emphasis upon the edification or the spiritual house of the soul. It's made up of two words. It's a compound word. The first part of the word is O-I-K-O, and then the last part of the word is D-O-M-E-N. Actually, the first part of the word comes from the Greek word oikos, O-I-K-O-S, which means a house. And then D-O-M-E, which means to build. And so it means to build a house. And that's where we get the emphasis upon construction of the spiritual house of the soul. You'll notice that we translated it here, edifying. It could be translated the edification. It could be translated the building of the soul or the spiritual house of the soul. Then you'll notice that the Scripture goes on to say, the body, which is S-O-M-A-T-O-S, the body of Christ. Now we're going to move very quickly into verse 13. We want you to see how powerful this passage of Scripture is. Now notice that verse 11 emphasizes the responsibility that ministers have. I want to reiterate the fact where you can remember that there's an emphasis upon God's plan for the ministry. And then there's an emphasis on apostles and there are prophets, and then there are preachers and evangelists. But for the purpose of perfecting the saints, to the work of the ministry, to the edifying or the building of the body of Christ. Anytime you find the expression body of Christ, you know that there's an emphasis upon the church age, and we live in the time of the construction of this particular body. Now, verse 13, let's look at it. Until we all arrive at the unity of faith. Now, I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that every time I take a passage of Scripture and I'm looking at the verbs and I'm trying to find out what all is being said here, I find that this verse of Scripture is emphasizing the Christian advance or the time when a person moves forward and advances to the point of being properly utilizing the truth of God on a day-by-day basis. We have, for instance, the word until, which is M-E-C-H-R-I, until. Then it says, we all arrive. I want you to stop with me and let's look at the word arrive here. It is the compound word, K-A-T-A, which is a preposition, kata, according to. Then we have the word A-N-T-A-O. Interesting enough, if you'll notice how the word is used, when I look at a word like this, the first thing that I do is to take a look to see what the suffix is. And I see that the suffix is O-M-E-N. I notice that instead of it having an omicron O, it has an omega O. Immediately that tells me that this particular verb is used in the subjunctive mood. Now I have to go into a little detailed description here to let you see that when you have a verb in the indicative mood, it would have the letter O, which is a little O, like you see. Or if you have it in the subjunctive mood, you will have an O, which is omega. And that's the reason why when I looked at this word, very first thing I saw was that this had the little letter that showed me that this is a verb in the subjunctive mood. That immediately tells me that there's a possibility that individuals will not arrive at where God plans for them to arrive. I'm looking at that from a negative standpoint, but let's turn the coin over and look at it from a positive standpoint. And let's just say that this is emphasizing the fact that a person does reach the point of spiritual advance and spiritual maturity. Until we all arrive, aorist, active, subjunctive, may or may not, and it says, at the unity of the faith. What is a beautiful expression here is that God's plan for every individual is to move forward, to advance on a day-by-day basis, utilize God's truth, and grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When I look at this word, arrive, I discover that there are many different theologians who have a lot of things to say about this particular word. Let me just share with you some things that I think are very interesting. One is that the expression could be illustrated by the arriving of a huge ship that is fully loaded and is coming to the shore. Until we all arrive fully loaded at the shore. That's an expression I believe is kind of an interesting one. Until we all arrive at the unity of the faith. In other words, it is God's plan for every individual as a born-again believer, as I said earlier, to advance on a day-by-day basis and to arrive at the unity. You remember that we emphasized last Sunday, and we'll emphasize this again next Sunday, and that is that this unity here is an emphasis upon the escutcheon of God's people. In other words, a person who has the faith, an emblem, a crest, a design that proves that they are a part of that family. This time it's a family of God. You'll notice again that this is an aorist tense at a point of time. Aorist, active voice, subject produces the action. The subjunctive mood is the mood of potentiality. Until we all arrive at the unity of the faith. And you'll notice that there's an emphasis here upon the Greek word pistos, which is the word for faith, P-I-S-T-E-O-S. Let's stop for a few moments and talk about the word faith. If you look at a word in the Greek language from the standpoint of a noun, pistos, faith, if you take that word that's a noun and make it into a verb, it would be pisteuo or pistuo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O, and you translate pistos or pistis, faith, you translate pistuo as I believe. And so immediately you can see that the reason that we conclude that faith is I believe is in reality when a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, they're actually saying, I faith it, I believe, I'm trusting. And so that's a beautiful expression indeed. Until we all arrive at the unity of the faith, follow and look along in the verse and of the full knowledge. Now, do any of you know the word epinosis? Have you ever heard that word before? Well, here we have it again. It's an emphasis upon full knowledge. Translated that way, full knowledge of the Son of God. I'm going rapidly, but I want you to see that I'm driving to get to a point toward the end of this passage at a complete man. Now, also, I want to point out the fact that in the Greek language, you have anthropos for man, but that's not the word that is used here. You'll notice that the word man is A-N-D-R-A. The reason for that is the word is to be translated a noble man. This is an emphasis upon what God does to us as individuals when we grow and advance in God's grace. We become noble individuals. So until we all arrive, the scripture says, at the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, at a complete person, a complete individual. And then it says, at the metron, measure, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, some of you have been wondering why I'm going rapidly in the translation of the passage. And there's a reason for that, because I made the decision that I was going to stop with you on the last major word in this verse of Scripture, and that is the word fullness. If you'll notice that the Greek word is pleromatos, pleromatos, pleromatos. Now, all of you are going to have fun with me for the next few minutes because we're going to be looking at that word fullness. It's a beautiful word in the Greek language. I want you, if you will, please to pay close attention. It is, as I'm going to read it again, pleromatos, pleromatos. And that's the way that it is translated in our verse of Scripture, Ephesians 4:13. What I've done for you, I've gone into a study of that word fullness. And I want you to see that the word is used in different ways in the Word of God. I'm going to put these on the screen for you. First of all, there's the Greek word pleres, P-L-E-R-E-S. And you'll see that I have it on the screen for you to see. It is the word to be translated full, nothing lacking, complete, or fully possess. Now, I don't want to go so rapidly that you miss what is being said here, because in a few moments we're going to be drawing some conclusions after having seen these various words that are used in the New Testament that are translated fullness. Here the word is pleres, P-L-E-R-E-S, which means full, nothing lacking, complete, fully possess. Now, there's a reason for us getting this information tonight. The next word that you see on the screen is the word pleroporeo, which is P-L-E-R-O-P-H-O-R-E-O, pleroporeo. Let's see what that word is and how we would define it. It means to fill out, to fill up a deficiency, or to fill completely. You can see that there's a close connection with each one of these words. And I'm not going to go into how the words are particularly used now. We'll do that as we move along tonight. But we've seen two words so far. You'll notice the comparison of the words, full, nothing lacking, complete, fully possess. Then the word means to fill out, or to fill up a deficiency, or to fill completely. Then you'll notice that the third word is pleroo, which is P-L-E-R-O-O. And this time we translate it to fill with quality. To fill with quality. It means to fully influence. There's a reason for me giving all of these words, because I want you to see, in just a few moments, we're going to emphasize various passages of Scripture which relate to each one of these words. So we have the word pleroo, P-L-E-R-O-O, which means with quality, fill up with quality, to fully influence. Now let's look at the next word that you see on the screen. It is the word plerophoreo. Now look and see how this word is translated. It's translated full assurance. Full assurance. It emphasizes certainty. It emphasizes that which is real, that which is certain. Full assurance. You may wonder why I'm emphasizing this. I'm emphasizing it now because I want you to see later that we're going to be looking at verses of Scripture where these words are used in various forms. And then there's the word pleroma, P-L-E-R-O-M-A. I put it in Greek for you. I put it in English for you, trying to make it easy for you. Here it is, that which fills, or it means fullness. Now I'm going to take this off and let you take a look again at our verse of Scripture. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesian believers. He's saying there's a reason for the prophets, and there's a reason for the evangelists, and there's a reason for the ministers. There's a reason for all of these individuals, because God desires that there be the communication of God's Word so that people can arrive at the unity of faith. They can arrive with their ship full. They can be full on a day-by-day basis with the mind, the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of the full knowledge of the Son of God. Can you imagine what it's talking about when it emphasizes having full knowledge of the Son of God? Full knowledge of the Son of God. I'm convinced that many people don't want to have full knowledge of the Son of God. If they desired full knowledge of the Son of God, they'd be more enthusiastic about studying God's Word on a day-by-day basis. I'll not get into that because that would get me out of fellowship, make me mad, and I don't want to do that at all. But I want you to know that there are a lot of people in this life who are not all that enthusiastic about a day-by-day study of the Word of God. They do not desire a full knowledge of the Son of God. Then it says, at a complete individual, a person who is going to the point of advance, traveling down the high road of God's grace. Then it says, at the measure. That's an interesting word. Metron, M-E-T-R-O-N, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, in my study in relationship to this word, I have found 11 ways that the word plero can be used. 11 ways. And I've been told in the seminary years and years ago that if you have 10 points, that's okay. If you have 9, you need to have 10. Just finish on an even number. And so I had 11 points, and I decided that that was not good. And so I put down 11 ways to use the word plero, and then a conclusion. So I have now, I want you to know, I'm ending tonight with 12 points. Even though I actually have only 11 points dealing with the word plero. First of all, I want you to see point one. Plero is used for spiritual growth. It is used for the construction of the spiritual house of the soul. It emphasizes the fact what took place in the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, when you go to Luke chapter 2, verse 40, you will discover that some interesting things took place in the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it emphasizes by the time he was 11 or 12 years of age, in his humanity, he had come to the point of the completion of the spiritual house of the soul. Now, I know that that may confuse some of you. Some of you are saying, well, I thought deity was full of the spiritual house of the soul at all times. That's correct. But I'm emphasizing the humanity side of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're getting to this more in detail in future messages. Plero is used then for spiritual growth. The construction of the spiritual house in the humanity of Jesus Christ. By the time he was 11 or 12 in his earthly life, he had reached that point that we would classify as the echo zone, or developing the spiritual house of the soul. Now I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 40. I think you'll find this quite interesting. Perhaps you've not read it in recent days, but let's look at it. And the child continued to grow. I'll give you time now to look. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. I'll just back up a little bit and let you see. Verse 38, and at that very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God, continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. And the child continued to grow and became strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now that's Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. It's always been amazing to me to see how the Scripture emphasizes all aspects of the advance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. When you look at those four aspects, you will discover the four major aspects that actually should belong to every individual. Plero number one is used then for spiritual growth, for growth. The construction of the spiritual house in the humanity of Jesus Christ. By the time he was 11 or 12 years of age, in his earthly life, he had reached that point of the echo zone, Luke 2:40. Number two, the same verb is used in Ephesians 3:19. And I'm going to ask you now, if you will, please, because it's important for us to turn in our Bibles and look at these verses. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. We're going to read this and see what it says. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And again, we find the word plero used here. This is an amazing verse to me. Perhaps it is to you if you look at it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. That's interesting. Just listen to it. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Then it says that you may be filled with everything, filling up a deficiency, filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, if you will go, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, glance down to verse 10. He who descended is himself also he who ascended above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. There that word is used again. And we will not get into an emphasis on the ascending on high, laying captive hosts of captives. We'll not get into this now. But the emphasis I'm trying to show you is, it says, he who descended is himself also he who ascended above all the heavens, that he might fill, that's filling up a deficiency, all things. Now, if you will, please go to the book of Colossians. Let's go to chapter 1 and go down to verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason also, the Apostle Paul writing to the Colossian believers, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge. And there that word is epinosis. That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I feel like sometimes I go too rapidly for you not to get to the verse on time. I do want you to see how powerful Colossians 1:9 is. I'm going to go back, analyze it with you for a few moments. For this reason also, Paul said to the Colossian believers, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled, fill up a deficiency, may be filled with the knowledge, epinosis, full knowledge of His will. And then it says, in all spiritual wisdom. And the Greek word for wisdom there is the Greek word sophia. And you remember the very fantastic word sophia. Beautiful, magnificent word for wisdom. Now let's go on. The same verb is used in Ephesians 3:19, Ephesians 4:10, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For the construction of the spiritual house in the church age, and that's for all born again believers in the age of grace. Number 3, this verb is also used for the believer being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Most of us now can quote Ephesians 5:18. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because you are able to quote the verse with me. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we have the verb used for the believer being controlled by the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. Number 4, the word plero is used for God's perfect happiness in the believer as that believer gets to the mountain peak of spiritual advance. Please take the verses down. We're not going to have time to go to all these verses, but please take these down. Philippians 2:2. 1 John 1:4, John 16:24, and John 17:13. My, what a fantastic point this is. Plero, this beautiful word is used for God's perfect happiness in the believer as that believer gets to the mountain peak of spiritual advance and spiritual growth. Philippians 2:2, 1 John 1:4, John 16:24, John 17:13. I told you we had 12 points. 11 of those have to do with the word plero. Number 5. The word plero is used for the production of vertical good. Most of us by now have heard this so many times, the difference between horizontal good and vertical good. We could describe it like this: God's good on the one hand, satanic good on the other hand. Plero is used for the production of vertical good. This simply means that God designed for you and me, for us to be able to see from a vertical viewpoint and for us to produce vertical good. The Apostle Paul tells us about that in the book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. Number 6, it's also interesting to find that the word plero is used for the pastor who communicates faithfully the word of God to the right congregation. Now you can see that I would be very, very interested to take you to that verse of scripture, and that's Colossians 1:25. I'm not going to do that, but I would encourage you to write that passage down. The word plero is used for the pastor who communicates faithfully the word of God to the right congregation. I'm continually amazed at how God has blessed us in this church over these past plus 40 years. 40 years plus. I'll have to stop and try to figure it up, but I think we're in 41 now, if I'm not mistaken. Plero is used for the pastor who communicates faithfully the word of God to his right congregation. The word number 7, plero is used for the freedom of the believer through positional truth. Let's stop for a few moments and look at this. The word plero is used for freedom. The greatest thing that you and I can be aware of is that because we've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we have been released. We have been set free. We have a freedom, a wonderful, magnificent freedom. And this is because of positional truth. When I say positional truth, I need to remind you again that the word sanctification means to be set apart, set aside. That's what God does to us in salvation. He sets us apart. He sets us aside. So there is positional truth. There is what is known as positional sanctification. That is the beginning of the Christian life, when the Lord brings Himself so magnificently into our lives, and we become aware of our relationship to Him, and He in us, and we in Him, born into His magnificent kingdom. So there is positional sanctification. If you look at the scriptures we've been studying in recent days, Romans 8:28, you will discover that there is the X emphasis and the Y emphasis and the Z emphasis, and there is positional sanctification. There's experiential sanctification. There's ultimate sanctification. Positional sanctification, of course, is our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:10. Now, number 8. The word plero is also used, and we don't talk about this very much, but I want you to be able to see it. Plero is used for the financial security of the pastor. And that is presented to us in Philippians 4:18. In other words, through giving, whereby the individual as a communicator is able to devote the entire time to the study and the communication of the Word of God. I want you to realize how thankful I am for that magnificent privilege which is mine on a day-by-day basis, that I have the wonderful privilege of going to an office and staying there for hours and doing this on a day-by-day basis. And when I'm there, I am aware of the fact that that's my responsibility of making love to the congregation by preparing the communication of God's Word so that I can come and stand here and communicate God's message of love to you. Plero then is used for the financial security of the pastor through giving, whereby he is able to devote time to the study and communication of the Word. We could look that up in Philippians 4:18, but we're not going to do it. Number 9. Plero is used for the completed construction, the completed structure of the spiritual house in 1 John 1:4. If you'll notice in 1 John 1:4, we've written it out for you. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And there's that beautiful Greek word, plero. It is God's plan for every born-again believer to understand that the brief few years that we have on this earth, He wants us to have a life full of joy and completeness. That's the reason 1 John 1:4 says, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Plero, that your joy may be full. And the question I have for you tonight, don't answer this out loud, is your joy full? Do you have full joy no matter what your circumstances are? You may feel good, you may feel bad, you may have success, you may have failure, you may have finances, you may have no finances. Whatever the situation is, the question is, do you have joy? Where is the joy? Where does the joy come from? Now notice how fantastic this verb is. Some of you have already noticed that I've written it out for you to be able to see. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. But how is the word plero used here? It is used as a perfect, passive, subjunctive verb of plero. Some of you are saying, why are you stopping on that? Because I want you to see. Perfect tense verb emphasizes that God has done everything necessary to provide everything we need to have this completed joy. In other words, there's no lacking in relationship to what God has for mankind as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's any lacking, it is not on God's side. Are you with me? I'm trying to go slowly enough for you to be able to see. The perfect tense emphasizes that the joy has been completed in the eternal ages past. I want you to see this. It's important to see it. God's joy is full and complete. He's not lacking. If there's any lacking on our part, it is not God's fault. And that's the reason why we have a subjunctive mood. If you're following along, you're going to see three things in this verb. You're going to see a perfect tense verb. You're going to see a passive voice. And you're going to see a subjunctive mood. It's all extremely important. God's joy is complete. There's no lacking. There are no minuses on His side. God desires for us to have joy, peace, contentment, and happiness no matter what. That's God's side of it. On our side, it's a passive voice. We can choose or not choose to receive what He has to offer. He's the one who gives it. We're the one to receive it. If we receive, He gives. If we choose not to receive, we have slacked ourselves. We have shortchanged ourselves. We have cheated ourselves. You see what's being said here? You see why this word is so important? Pleroo. Pleroo is used for the completed structure of this spiritual house. 1 John 1:4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. It may or may not be. It's designed to be full. Some of you are saying, you've already said that enough. Don't say it anymore. Let's go on. Okay. Thank you very much for encouraging me. Now, number 10. Pleroo is used for the fulfillment of Christ through the church under the analogy of the right man, right woman concept. Beautiful passage of Scripture. Ephesians 1:23. God has a plan, and that plan is so fantastic. We're not going to discuss it here, but I want you to see that this is a word that is related to the relationship of a husband and a wife in Ephesians 1:23. Now we go to point 11. Pleroo is used also for the failure to detect any echoes on believers in the local church. And that's found in Revelation 3:2. This is not an emphasis upon our responsibility of checking people out. This is a reference to the Lord not being able to find echoes on believers in the church at Sardis. And that's the reason why I chose to put this particular word in here. Pleroo is used in Revelation chapter 3, verse 2, in relationship to the church at Sardis. A failure to detect echoes on believers in the local church. The Lord, how sad, the Lord cannot find any spiritual advanced believers in the church at Sardis. I do not believe that's true in relationship to our church. I believe that we have people who are hungry to advance on a day-by-day basis. And that leads me to tell you again that I only had 11 points. And you don't end on 11 points, you end on 12. And so I've given you now number 12. Every believer has some deficiency. Therefore, daily spiritual advance is absolutely essential. Now, let's go back and look at this magnificent passage of Scripture. I want to go back down here to get my verses of Scripture. You'll notice that we studied at the last session, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, about spiritual gifts, brother, I would not have you to be unknowing. And then, the emphasis is upon the preachers. Let me see if I can find that passage very quickly. Ephesians 4:11. We looked at this. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherd teachers. We got into discussion on that. Then tonight we came to this passage. Why these ministers? For the perfecting of the saints, to the work of the ministry, to the building, the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all arrive. The ship is loaded and it arrives. Until we all arrive at the unity of the faith and of full knowledge, epinosis, of the Son of God as a complete noble individual at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. These verses are so fantastic. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, thank you for the opportunity tonight to take a look at these wonderful verses. We realize that you have a challenge for all of us, and that is for us to fill up the deficiency, to advance and to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's our reason for being here again tonight, to receive the impartation, dissemination, proclamation of the Word of God, so that we can have the thinking, the mind of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you provided what we need so that we can have a full, happy, radiant, abundant, joyful life. We realize that you are not slack, lacking in any way in your joy. Help us to realize the importance of being the recipient of that joy. And for the person who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, oh, how sad that is to go through life and then to leave this life without knowing the joy of salvation. We pray that there will be those who hear this message to realize the importance of accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And may they do that even now, tonight, knowing that the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.